At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Seton, what's the poll question we're going to go with? Then we'll talk to our good buddy, former NBA All-Star Gilbert Arenas.
We're going to put up there right now, cutting Russell Wilson at the cost of $85 million over the next 2 years is crazy or worth it?
Okay. Crazy.
That's tough. Classic crazy or worth it game.
Okay.
That we always do.
Okay. All right. Crazy or worth it?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds crazy, and I don't know if it'll be worth it because I don't know what they're going to do with their quarterbacking position. Where are they going to be in 2 years?
Yeah. That's why it's a tricky question.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because you don't know the answer to it yet.
Okay. All right. Gilbert Arenas, three-time NBA All-Star with the Wizards, co-host of Gil's Arena Podcast. And you can find that Monday through Thursday, Gil's Arena YouTube channel at 2:30 Eastern, joining us on the program. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing? Good morning.
I'm doing okay. I was wondering about this with LeBron James. He said kind of back off, my son, let my kid be a kid, when people are, you know, saying, is he going to be a first-round pick? You're the guy who said he could play for the Lakers right now. And he's clearly struggling at USC. Your son, I think, is a sophomore in high school?
Yes.
Okay. At what point should we be able to look at your son? And your son just scored, what, 53 points in a playoff game?
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. So it kind of goes with the territory, former NBA player, and we're going to be assessing your son's talents. But at what point can we start to project that you're comfortable with as a father?
You know, as a father, you know, it's mostly we're in protective mode, right? It's not a competitive part of us, you know, when it comes to our children. So it's more of the father of LeBron that's coming out like, yeah, you know, let's calm down. Let him get to where he needs to be before the criticism kicks in. That's all it is. You know, he knows, you know, Bronny is not where he wants to be. You know, they had the situation last with like before the season started. He hasn't got off to a good start, but you know, they have some good players over there. He's not having a NBA enter the league season, but his body style, how he plays the game, he's a 3-and-D type of guy. He's more like a Jrue Holiday. So I'm pretty sure he's gonna test the waters to see, you know, if he's an NBA player this year. If not, he's gonna go back into college.
Yeah, I would like to see him have another full year at USC where he's healthy, because he's not one of the better players on his team. I mean, he's got, you know, Isaiah Collier is a wonderful player as a, you know, freshman, but I think it would help him. I mean, it's a lot of pressure. I don't know if your son has ever said to you how much pressure he may feel, and he's only a sophomore in high school, of trying to follow in your footsteps.
Yeah, you know, after his freshman year, I said, you know, don't worry about trying to live up to, you know, my footsteps, because at the same time, you're way better than me. And my job as a father is to instill the things that I learned as an NBA player into you now. So you should be better than me. Are you going to be better than me once you get to college or pros? We don't know. But as a high school player, you're far better than me. So that pressure should be gone. Now let's just get better.
What's recruiting like?
It's been crazy. But I tell them all of it is fake. They're not recruiting a sophomore to come in right now. You know, just the ideal of giving you a letter is all this is about. This is more about hype. It's not real. You know, if you accept a scholarship today, in 2 years they can take that back. It's not you know, cemented. Binding.
Yeah.
So,
but are we talking UCLA? Arizona, USC.
Arizona's came in. I don't think UCLA's came in, but Kentucky, Kansas, you know, all the big schools.
The Blue Bloods.
Yeah.
Can your son beat you one-on-one?
No, because I cheat.
But if you didn't, if you didn't play old man basketball.
Oh, yeah.
He would beat you.
Because I have to guard him. And, you know, with all the new moves that this school has, it's kind of, I don't want to run around like that. But just like if we just had to stay one dribble or two, I don't think he'd beat me.
He's Gilbert Arenas, the Gil's Arena podcast, a three-time All-Star with the Wizards. Help me understand what you were saying when you were talking about European players.
Woo!
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, there was fire there.
Uh-huh.
The NBA took away aggression. They took away aggression to open up the EuroLeague. When they first started getting here, it was too rough for them. You're talking about Europeans. They didn't make it. Eventually, they softened the rules. They didn't soften the rules for the Americans. They softened the rules to open up international. Also talked about they don't play defense, not athletic. What are you trying to say here, Gilbert?
No. Okay, so, you know, the idea at the All-Star break was, how do we change the game back to more defense? Everything became about defense. How do we make it more defensive and competitive? And my whole thing then was, why aren't you crediting the offense? The offense just got better. There's element in this game that's gotten better, and you can't rewind what you did. And what was done probably mid-2000s is trying to figure out how we can make this game the game global, okay, right? And by opening up the game global means bringing the internationals. So if you think about like how the game was in the early 2000s, it was a lot of physical play, right? You know, only, you know, like Dirk was, you know, there was really only three or four European players that really survived in that brute type of era. So it was one of the ideas of just like making it a three-point, the D'Antoni system come in, given that type of system, legs, the move, up and down, no defense, just scoring 7 seconds, no defense, no foul, threes and layups. It was the D'Antoni system.
But Gilbert, is there a difference between soft and finesse?
It's the same. It depends. But finesse and soft is the same, right? It's not. It's one and the same.
Okay, you go on to say you go to college to learn defense. What college do Europeans go to? They have no athleticism. They have no speed, no jumping ability. They're a liability on defense. There are 150 Euros in the league today. Name the top defenders. And then you mentioned that Giannis is in there and Rudy Gobert. Other than that, they're just offensive players.
Yes.
And that's bad for the NBA.
No, it's great for the NBA because it opened up scoring.
But you're saying it's bad for the NBA because these guys, they have the league is softer. The fact that LeBron at 39 is averaging 25 a game, you point that out as well. So you would like to go back to when it was more physical.
No, it's bad. It's bad. Like the Euro is bad if you want defense in. So I'm saying the Euros expanded this game. They bring in the five men that can shoot the three, which means the court is open. So now, because the court is open, all the athletic guys can get to the rim. So it became a very great game offensively. So if you want to push the idea of we want defense, then let's say, okay, well, take away the guys that expanded this game. If you don't like that idea, then be quiet. It was more of the sarcastic way of saying just leave the game the way it is because it's expanded. There's no more Shaquille O'Neals and the dinosaur power force that sit down there and play brute game. These guys are coming in at 6'10", 6'11", 7'6", and they can shoot the three. So now that they can shoot the three, guys who are just athletic can live better too. So it's popularized the game. So it's going to just get, this is going to get better because.
Well, wait, I'm having a hard time following what your message is, because it sounds like you're anti-European, that they've ruined the game and it's bad for American players.
No. See, so that was the sarcastic part. If you're saying the game is being ruined because there's no defense, then I'm saying, okay, the guys who made it more offensively great, who brung in more money into the game, they did it because of their skill. Mm-hmm. So if you don't like the way the game is now, then blame them. And since you're not going to blame them, then just be quiet of the whole idea of putting in all these new rules. Because if you put in a 3 second, there's no 3 seconds, everyone's going to shoot more threes. So that's not going to help. You put in the hand checking, that's not going to help. So just let it go. Just enjoy the game for what it is.
You don't think the Joker could survive back in the 90s?
Yeah, the Joker. Okay, so think about what I'm saying. So if we wanted to go into that part of it, the Euros that are really expanding this game are all big men, right? You take out Luka. Who is your next best Euro point guard, right? And then who is your top Euro shooting guards? Who is your top Euro small forwards? So it's just the bigs. Even back then, most of the Euro bigs are the ones that's coming into this league dominating because they have a skill that the American bigs do not have. I mean, you have Wagner, who they put at the shooting guard sometimes. He's 6'11". That's where the game has changed. You can't rewind it.
I think it's Wagner, by the way, not Wagner.
Wagner. Yeah. Wagner.
I mean, let's pronounce it correctly. You know, European style.
Yeah, so for an American style, for an athletic kid, the Euro has done something that we're just not teaching over here. And that's skilled. That's team. That's the understanding of the game overall. So when you have them in the game and they're pushing the limits, that means everything goes up. Popularity goes up. Money goes up. Right. If the game didn't expand to like a Euro style, that wouldn't be $350 million contracts. No. That's the Euro style. So if you don't like where the game is, then let's blame. And it was the more sarcastic way of saying, if you don't like the way the game is, then blame the Euros. And then let's go back to 1985 basketball and see how you like that one.
And then you said no one would guard Iverson. They couldn't guard Iverson in today's game.
No. I mean, you know, he's one of those specialty players because you're going to look at his field goal percentage, which is not the real field goal percentage if you put him in today's game, because their game is wide open. There's no Eric Snows and all of that that will be on his team, right? So now you have a guy who's 6'1", 6'2", if that.
What was Iverson, peak Iverson, like?
Peak Iverson was demanding all five guys to pay attention to him. Every single guy on that floor was trying to stop Iverson. So we were loading up boxes and elbows, right? We knew he was going all right, but you know, but he's 160 pounds, right? That doesn't exist in today's game, right? A guy who's fast, quick, 160 pounds, coming through the lane full speed. So he had the mentality of a Westbrook, and he was trying to score 50. That's the difference. Like when Luka and Jokic come into the game, they're not trying to score 50, right? If they're going to get it because of how they play, but they're not trying. It's like Westbrook mixed with Giannis, mixed with someone who's 160 pounds.
But Kobe would try to score 50 a night.
Yes. Like from my era, you have Kobe, you have Allen Iverson. That's about it.
Tracy McGrady?
Tracy, you know, but there's a lot more players like Tracy here. But because of who Tracy was, right? You're giving the guys more attempts now, right? So it's not like what Iverson doing. Like you got to take his percentage versus the volume of where his team was shooting. So if they're only taking 80 shots and he was taking 25% of them, you just move it up and see. So he'd be about 39 of 41. But, you know, it's one of those.
Wait, that's what he would average?
Probably. Like me, you give me more shooting, I'll just have more assists. So I'll get into like the 30, like average 29, maybe 33, 32. I'll go from 6 assists maybe to 10. Like I'll have more assists with this new style.
Yeah.
Not necessarily more scoring.
It's great to catch up with you.
it was more of a sarcastic way.
Okay,
of saying,
all right. Yeah. I wouldn't go to Europe anytime soon if I were you. Just know, saying.
But that, you know, that's my gift, like throwing it out there so everyone can just take it.
Oh,
and
I see what you did. Yeah. I see. I see how you did that.
I get them good.
All right. hey, congrats and good luck with your son.
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Gilbert Arenas, 3-time NBA All-Star with the Wizards and co-host of Gil's Arena Podcast. You know, when I read it, I went, oh, is he going to get torched here? Because Gilbert didn't exactly play lockdown defense, just saying. You know, he was known as a scorer. He might have been a Euro without knowing that he was a Euro.
It's Gilbert.
Gilbert Elina.
There's a tilde in there somewhere.
Gilbert.
When he was at Arizona, I thought he was a European player. Gilbert Arena. Ooh, the roll. Muy bien.
Yes. Let's take a break.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. We were just talking jelly beans. I don't know what the brand name of that jelly bean is, but that's bad. Like, whatever happened to just traditional jelly beans?
Are these now, like gourmet?
Yeah, these are gourmet jelly beans.
Oh.
And they showed up in a box, no plastic bag around the jelly beans. They're just rattling around in this box. The big German ordered them. And I'm going, these things stink. You know, they got all these different flavors. Just give me the traditional jelly bean. It's not a big deal. Yeah, see.
So in addition to hot dogs, snow cones, popcorn.
Yes.
We now have jelly beans at Ray's Delicatessen.
Yes. The backroom guys, Ray. Ray handles all of that.
The brodega, as we call it back
there. Yeah, the brodega. Brodega. Popcorn, snow cones, hot dog machine, and now we got jelly beans.
Nobody.
Ryan Leaf doesn't eat like that. Maybe he once did. The former number two overall pick in 1998 and friend of the show and, of course, contributor to NFL Network. He joins us here in the Man Cave. You're going to fill in for me on Friday, by the way.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Nervous?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many of your guest hosts show up, you know, and see how the sausage is made to make sure. I mean, I don't want to let you down.
Oh, you're already putting in for extra credit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know what I'm doing here, all right?
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I carry baggage with me, you know, so I better be good. I don't have like, I don't get a second chance, you know, to make a first impression because of the baggage I bring. So I better be good with my first opportunity or you know, you don't get asked back.
Yeah, but part of the reason we love you is the baggage you do bring, though.
Well, I know, but in most places that's fun to be a guest, but not a guest host. All right. The guest host part is like, oh, you better be good at it because that's my seat. This seat over here, I can just be moved out of the room while you do the other 3 hours, you know?
All right, let me ask you about Russell Wilson, because I brought this up last year. Can you play yourself out of the Hall of Fame? And it feels like he has. But it feels like there was a precipitous drop in confidence, performance, and the numbers weren't bad last year. But why does Sean Payton want to move on from Russell Wilson?
I mean, I don't know if there's a bigger ego out there than Sean Payton for somebody who hasn't accomplished as much as like some other people, too. He did not want him from day one. And for whatever he had to try to cover up to make it look like he did not want him. He was stuck with him. And when he had the opportunity to finally get it done and get him out, it was going to happen. I thought Russell played, you know, pretty darn good last year. You guys
okay, but is this more about the coach maybe than it is the quarterbacks? We're missing really what we should be focusing on?
Yeah, I don't think that the conversation should be around necessarily Russell Wilson's lack of production. He produced last year to a point where they were in playoff contention. And Denver decided, hey, we'd rather, you know, not be on the hook for all that money if he were to get hurt than to maybe push for the playoffs, actually. And so that was disappointing to see as a fan of Russell Wilson's, a fan of the Denver Broncos, to see them kind of go away from that. And I don't know what they do. I heard Seton talk about it. I mean, where do you start the clock with Sean Payton? Because, I mean, they are in 2 years of dead cap hell. So how do you go about building a true roster that can compete in a division where a team seemingly feels like it has a chokehold on everybody right now? I don't know. I'm glad that Russell's gone. I bet you he is happy too. I think the name you used right immediately, the Pittsburgh Steelers, is an optimal spot for him, especially if they can get him for the league minimum. You don't quite know if other teams will want to do that because they have to negotiate with the Broncos and everything like that. You don't want to stick it to them necessarily if you were going and trying to do some business with them in the next year or two or things like that.
Oh, so you think that these teams may take a little bit of that financial heat away from the Broncos?
I do, because of the personal interactions between teams when they go about that business. If you walk into it, I think the Haslam situation where they gave that money to Deshaun Watson is going to do them detrimentally in future, you know, interactions within teams, because they were like, you about screwed us on this. And we're not going to let that happen. We're going to hold you accountable for some time. So, I don't think necessarily it's just a foregone conclusion that he walks in and it's a league minimum and the Broncos are on the hold for all that extra money.
Okay, if you're Russell Wilson, where do you want to go?
Well, I liked your point about I want to go to a place where I think I can win. And clearly Pittsburgh's a place where you can win because Mike Tomlin has showcased that every single year he's been there. What they've been missing since Ben Roethlisberger is competent quarterback play. Mason Rudolph, even at the end of the year, was pretty darn good, but when he got into the playoffs, I was on the sideline calling that game for Westwood One, and I saw it. Josh Allen was just this much better than him in that game at Highmark Stadium. So Russell could bring that to the table if they are able to keep T.J. Watt healthy, who's the most dynamic defensive player in the league, I think, if he stays healthy. A good quarterback play where you don't turn it over and you get some big plays down, I think that could be a good spot for him.
Yeah, I just wonder, you're going to have a chip on your shoulder. You're going to want to go to...
It's going to be hard.
Yeah?
It's going to be hard wherever he goes.
Why?
This is hard to explain to people, but when quarterbacks are drafted, most likely in the top 10, a second stop, regardless of geographic change, it's incredibly difficult to be successful somewhere else. And Russell isn't that guy, but what Russell was able to accomplish turned him into essentially a franchise quarterback. And him going to another place has been rather difficult, and it has been for everybody else. You see Jim Plunkett as the number one overall pick able to go from the Patriots to the Raiders and have success. Peyton Manning, of course, still unknown for Aaron Rodgers. Brett Favre was able to have some in Minnesota. It's rarity. It's a real rarity for somebody to have a Super Bowl trophy in their trophy case and then go and be successful somewhere else. And now we're getting in the later stages of his career. I'd love to see the resurgence. I love Russell Wilson as a person. I think what he's been able to accomplish. I think sometimes, as you and I have talked about, the neurocognitive way he went about things with Trevor Moad and the neutral thinking has made him come across sometimes almost like a simulation. But that was managed. That was the way it was supposed to be. And it's really difficult to maybe kind of manage that in a locker room when you don't have the person that's helping you filtrate that there available to you.
But is this more mental?
Yeah.
Or physical? Oh, it is.
I think it's more of a mental thing. I think what
and you were talking about Trevor Moad, his spiritual advisor.
Yeah, he was more of a
coach.
It was a mind coach that they met at IMG, and Trevor was also someone that helped me when I got out of prison. Like, we started working on that mindset, and it's affected me greatly. I mean, look at where I am 10 years from now. I mean, 10 years ago today, I was sitting in a prison cell, and now you're just...
Yeah, but how does he help you mentally? You're physically out of a prison cell. Was it you couldn't get mentally out of a prison cell?
Yeah, I think for a little while I was... Listen to this. The day I woke up after my first day out of prison, my hometown newspaper ran a cartoon that said, "Lock up your medicine cabinets, Ryan Leaf's out." My hometown newspaper. And my immediate reaction in that moment was like, where's the hope? Like, this is what it's going to be for the rest of my life. How am I ever supposed to get past this? I might as well just, you know, go back to muscle memory and feed that numbing feeling. I mean, that was the moment of thought. And working with Trevor was around, hey, no, we're not up, we're not down. It is just here. There's no negative mindset moving forward. And from that point, and I was nowhere near as good as Russell was with it. I would not allow negative information to creep in. And it really pushed me forward. I had a choice every morning to wake up in a positive and healthy mood. That was my choice.
And Russ has lost his, you know, spiritual coach. Trevor passed away.
I do think that played a huge impact. And I've been one of the most on my soapbox talking about it. Of course, you got to go out and perform. And I thought he did last year. I thought he was very good in the red zone. The touchdown pass against Buffalo to the corner to Cortland Sutton was one of the best throws I've ever seen from a quarterback. And I thought he was getting better. And I just...
But does Sean just not like... I mean, does it come down to, I just don't like you?
You love your quarterback if you're an offensive play caller, and he just did not like the way he went about his business. You talked about the Detroit game over Thanksgiving, and just the Christmas or something and just the berating of him on what to do down there.
Well, he just beat the Chiefs, and then they said, hey, we want you to kind of help us with your contract here.
Yeah, it wasn't a match made in heaven. What they've given up in terms of for Russell Wilson, you got to look at what they've given up for Sean Payton. You know, they gave up the draft pick. They didn't have a second-round draft pick for him. They're paying him a ton of money. He goes and just kind of poo-poos on the quarterback and trade that his general manager made for before he got there 2 years previous. It doesn't seem like there is anything positive coming out of Denver right now, and that includes the Sean Payton scenario. Because guess what? Russell Wilson's gone. So this honeymoon's going to be short-lived if things start spiraling pretty quickly, like they have with Sean Payton. There hasn't been a positive with Sean Payton since he got there. So let's not act like, oh, now it's going to change. There's no evidence that points to anything positive happening in Denver with Sean Payton to this point yet.
How does their GM keep his job?
That was a great point you guys made about the resume. I thought, how do you hand a resume in like that and go, huh, Nathaniel Hackett, that right there, there's a fireable offense. The Russell Wilson trade for amount you gave up. Realistically, you could look at Sean Payton and what you gave up to get him. Why give up a draft pick for a coach and then take on all that money and then be so bad? It's very interesting. It fits in line with what, maybe because of the dysfunction around ownership. It was so up and down on who's going to own it, who doesn't, and they've kind of got lost in the mix a little bit, and maybe now there's a little bit more of a focal point. I don't know.
Ryan Leaf, former number 2 overall pick, 1998 draft, joining us here in studio. If the Bears take Caleb Williams, ..
Mm-hmm.
Finish that.
If they take him, I would be, you better be under the understanding that you're going to sit him this year. And that's not going to happen. So
why would you sit him?
Well, because 75% of what he made him so great in college is not transferable to the NFL. He's not going to be able to do that. He can't do what he did in college 75% of the time and be successful at the NFL level. He can do the 25% part at the NFL level, but he needs some time. He needs to get under center. He needs to understand how to throw on time, on platform, from the pocket. What he can do off platform is what makes him so exciting, because he may be one of the most talented quarterbacks in this year's draft and in many in the past year's draft. But he is a guy that I don't think can be a starter on day one. And I think they wanted to do that with Justin Fields, but like any team that drafts any quarterback in the top five, you're expected to play immediately. And unfortunately, I don't think he's a starting quarterback this year. I think the two guys that I would put some faith in to be a starting quarterback this year would be probably Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix Jr. Those are the two guys I could see being a first-round pick that could start this season.
Not Drake May.
No, I got Drake May as a second-round guy. I see him in very same mold as Will Levis, which clearly worked out well for Will. None of the anchor he had to carry from being a first-round pick got the opportunity to sit. When he took the opportunity, made the most of it, he's now their franchise quarterback. I see him very similar mold, those two.
You love Penix.
I do love Michael Penix Jr. And it's tough for me to say, being a Washington guy in Washington State. So I just think he is the most accurate down-the-field passer I've seen come out of college, and I can't tell you when.
But you think he could start?
Yeah, I think he could be a starting quarterback in – depending on what scheme he gets in it. And the good thing for him is not a lot of people are giving him a ton of credence. I think he may have moved the needle a bit at the combine, because he was special. He has the strongest arm of all the quarterbacks in the field this year. He's the most accurate down the field. He is a winner. The thing that was weighing him down was the medicals. People kept going back to that. Two catastrophic injuries that ended season in Indiana. Well, he passed the medicals with flying colors. I didn't get injured during college. Yet I got injured immediately in my second year in the NFL. You have no idea how that's going to play out. If you're going to start registering injury, being injury prone, you're going to go crazy thinking about all that stuff. So, yeah, he's my number one guy. I've been on him for 2 years now, and I haven't moved off my spot. The national championship is going to be something that's going to weigh him down a little bit because of how good the defense was.
Well, they under pressure, he didn't do well at all.
No, but I don't know if there's a more of a counter or polarizing difference of a national semifinal game to how good he was to how bad he was in the national championship.
Yeah.
And that's could be a little bit concerning. It was the worst possible time for him to have his worst game as a pro.
But that was an elite defense. That was a spectacular defense. And then you got J.J. McCarthy's. I'm fixated on J.J. McCarthy.
I think it's the most fascinating part of it.
I don't get it.
I get why people would think he could be good. He's a 5-star kid out of Illinois. He goes to Michigan. He's lost 3 games his entire career in high school and college. He's a winner. But how can a guy who's Superman for you in a game, let's say against Penn State, where Jim Harbaugh doesn't, where he's out and suspended, they don't ask him to throw the ball once in the second half?
Yeah.
I know he was banged up a little bit, but I mean, I don't care. There's something that throws me off a little bit with that I'd be like, well, do we venture to risk a first-round draft pick on a guy that can be literally put on the shelf for a half against one of your biggest rivals in conference play? So I have him as a second-round guy. Again, we all know that they're not 32 necessarily first-round grades to go around. The quarterbacks are always given more. I think Penix Jr. could easily be a guy that we see Baltimore, what Baltimore did a few years back with Lamar Jackson, jumped back up into the first round, got a guy with a fifth-year option. I think Penix could be that guy late in the first round. Wouldn't surprise me if J.J. McCarthy goes earlier than that. I don't know if it's necessarily warranted, but again, if you fall in love with somebody, they'll go do it.
He's Ryan Leaf. He'll be in this chair coming up on Friday. Good to see you, buddy. Thank you.
Good to see you, too.
We'll take a break.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up, and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You know, I can't help but think back to when Atlanta could have traded two first-round picks for Lamar Jackson. And what could have been? Could you imagine Lamar Jackson with the Falcons? Anybody could have made that trade. Remember, nobody wanted to give up two first-round picks. Then you had to pay Lamar Jackson. Lamar has an MVP season. You imagine Lamar and Bijan, Pitts, London? God, that would have been awesome. All right, stat of the day brought to you by...
We're like the Falcons sitting here. What do we do? We're just catching shrapnel.
I don't know why that came up. You know, that here's this... Kirk Cousins could be going there, or Justin Fields going there, or, you know, Baker Mayfield going there. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Ryan McFadden just completed his first season covering the Broncos for the Denver Post. Used to work for the Ravens covering the Baltimore Sun, so you had stability with the Ravens. Great organization. And then you go to Denver, and what a great year they gave you, Ryan. How have you survived?
It's been pretty crazy, but I'll say this. Sean Payton has kept us all busy.
All right, help me understand, how big a surprise was this that Russ was going to be released?
I would say this. It was a bit of a surprise, especially how it happened, because after the New England game, they were, even though like their playoff odds went down drastically after the loss to the Patriots, they were still mathematically in it. So making that type of move for a quarterback who was having a modest season in the midst of, you know, trying to clinch a playoff berth was kind of surprising. But if you as the season progressed, like, you can tell, like, Sean Payton and Russell Wilson kind of never, like, it never gelled. And I think when you look at, even though Russ had statistically had better numbers compared to the year before under Nathaniel Hackett. But Peyton had issues in terms of, like, you know, had to trim down the offense to help Russ, you know, get it in and out the huddle. The goal-to-goal execution wasn't up to Peyton's standards. So at the end of the day, I think it looks like this move is more of, I think Denver knows that they're going to take a huge cap hit doing this, but it's more of Peyton saying, this is not going to be my guy for the foreseeable future. So let's just go our separate ways right now, avoid paying him and paying him the guaranteed money of $37 million in 2025. And let's see if I can find my guy that I want to bring in. Because remember, Russell Wilson wasn't Sean Payton's guy. Sean Payton walked into Denver with Russell Wilson as the quarterback. Now Sean Payton can go out there and find his guy. So at this point where I think Russell Wilson can still be a quality quarterback in the NFL, and I think his market, he's going to have a strong market. And that's pressure on Denver and Sean Payton to get this right.
Okay, so who's Sean Payton's guy?
That's the question everyone wants to know. I think when you look at this draft, there's two guys that stick out to me that kind of fits what Sean Payton is looking for in the offense in terms of Oregon's Bo Nix and Michigan's J.J. McCarthy. During the combine, the Broncos did their due diligence with the quarterbacks. They had formal interviews with every top prospect, including Spencer Rattler, who's a guy from South Carolina who could be a possible late-round option. So you're going to see they're going to be aggressive with it. But when you look at this, I think no matter where they go, I think they're going to have patience. And that's where I think the key is with Sean Payton. Because Sean Payton came in here and he wants to win. Like, that's no matter what. That's his goal. He's going to win. He wants to compete for a postseason. But if you're going to try to bring in a rookie quarterback, I think that's going to require Sean Payton to have patience. Because, sure, let's say they get McCarthy. Let's say they get Nix. That could be your guy, but do you want to rush them to be out there on the field week one when they're not ready? So, to me, at this point, the perfect scenario is if they can find a quarterback in this draft, someone that they love, I think that's the key part there, that they got to love the guy, you know, and roll with Stidham and have him in the rookie transition. I think that'd be the perfect scenario for Denver.
Okay, you've only been there a year. Do you feel like you know Sean Payton better after a year or Russell Wilson after a year?
I think I know Sean Payton more.
Why? Yeah.
I think just you saw Sean Payton, the guy he was in New Orleans is the guy he is in Denver. And one thing you kind of get with Sean Payton, and he's a perfectionist. He wants things to be done his way and the right way. And you can tell, like, that type of mindset has kind of changed that culture when you talk to, like, players and from what it was before and what it is now. That kind of stands out with him the most. Like, you can tell he wants to change this franchise around. He wants to win. Obviously, it's going to be – the process might be longer than he may initially expect it, given Denver's cap situation, the handful of holes they have on the roster. But that's who Sean Payton is. At the end of the day. Like, this guy, he's a guy that really is hell-bent on winning and figuring and wants to do it the right way. And there's someone like he's going to go over red zone drills like 100 times until he gets it right. So that's the type of guy you saw in Denver this past year.
Ryan, do you think that Russell Wilson knows what happened, like why it happened, his role in why this happened?
I would think so. Because at the end, like Russell Wilson, like I said, Russell Wilson put up some solid numbers, but you still saw the inconsistencies. You still saw like the lack of continuity between him and Sean Payton. And it's hard to not kind of, even though I would say this, the whole situation could have been handled differently on how he was benched, how it got out there in terms of the contract. I strongly believe that could have been handled differently, but I think both sides got to look at themselves in the mirror, including Russell Wilson.
If I said which franchise is in the worst shape right now today, where do the Broncos rank?
That's a good one. At this present moment, I say they're probably up there because I look at this team where
I think it would be down there, not up there.
Yeah, I look at this team because there's where everyone's looking at the quarterback situation. But when you look at this team, you got so many holes. You got Lloyd Cushenberry in their free agency, and there's a certain heat where he's going to come back. You still have you still have to address the defensive line because they were that area of the team was inconsistent. There's so many things they have to figure out on the roster. You got the offensive tackle, Garrett Bowles, is entering his final season, and he's set to make $20 million in 2024. However, if you decide to release him, you could save $16 million, so he could be a possible cap casualty. And then you're right there. Now you got to address who's going to be your future at the left tackle. So it's, to me,
I think when you look at, when Broncos fans got to look at this, is like, yeah, if you, no matter who you bring in as quarterback, that's not going to be the quick fix. This is going to take a process.
And for me, I think the key thing is Sean Payton going to have that patience to let this process play out in terms of getting the quarterback in there, getting the right pieces around that quarterback to make this a team that can compete in the AFC West.
Good luck, Ryan. Should be fun.
It should be.
Thank you. That's Ryan McFadden. So you know, tough to find an encore for the first year that you're there in Denver. He's the Broncos beat writer for the Denver Post. They're a mess. I mean, maybe he doesn't want to say that on record, but they are. They're a mess today, and they're a mess. Who else is worse than them? Carolina? Patriots? Commanders? I might say the Patriots. They have absolutely nothing. There's no, like, all right, you got a new head coach. All right, great. I'm going to tune in to watch Gerard Mayo coach on the sidelines. You don't have a quarterback. You don't have anything where you go, man, even if you're bad, you still want to be relevant. You want to have somebody that you tune in to watch. They don't have that. Yeah, Paul.
The New York Giants feel worse than the New York Jets. The Jets are in bad shape. Daniel Jones is about to be jettisoned.
We don't know that.
Well, rumors from Rich Eisen.
Yeah, but it's a rumor.
But
I don't know that. What are you going to do at quarterback? That
they feel like they're in no man's land right now.
Yeah. The Jets are pinning their hopes on a 40-year-old quarterback and a coach who hasn't acted like a head coach since he's become one. I don't know. Jets are a mess, too. Carolina's a mess. Yeah, Marv.
Yeah, but you said the operative word, hope. The Jets have hope. If Aaron Rodgers comes back and he's even remotely close to being an MVP caliber quarterback, they're like, all right, because you have good pieces. I feel bad because they wasted a really good defensive season last year.
Yeah.
They were losing games 17-14.
Why is
like
it
that.
The Browns made the playoffs and they lost their quarterback and they brought in Joe Flacco? That's how Kevin Stefanski became coach of the year. So why couldn't Robert Saleh somehow bring this team together? Had a good, Cleveland, good defense. Jets, good defense. They had some skill position guys. You know, good running back, good wide receiver. And we saw what happened there. And you brought in all these guys. Rodgers helped you bring in all these guys. He wanted guys from Green Bay, bring them in. That was a disaster. You brought in your quarterback's coach, Hackett. And you're going, that didn't work. A backup quarterback that you had who couldn't play, but he's a friend of Aaron Rodgers. Like, it was a mess. Yeah, Marv.
It's like when LeBron would bring James Jones with him wherever he went, but James Jones wasn't playing.
Yes. James Jones, how many rings did James Jones get? Does he have two, three?
I think he might have not one, not two. Hold on.
Okay, James Jones. Yeah, LeBron would bring in his guy. Did he bring in, like, Mike Miller, too? Was that another guy that LeBron loved to have on the team? Yeah, Paul.
I have James Jones with two rings in Miami and one in Cleveland.
Okay, all right.
He was in the finals most years. Most of his career.
Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day.
Here comes
that
what?
Stat of the day.
If you didn't really earn them, how much do you show off championship rings?
Oh, like where is the display?
Like how often does James Jones showcase any of his three rings?
Okay, he was in three NBA finals and won three NBA finals.
He was on teams that won.
Yeah, he appeared in the postseason. He never started a postseason
game.
It appears that he did get minutes in a couple different NBA Finals games. I mean, a couple.
Okay, but how often would you wear your championship ring?
Wear it.
To the reunion.
Yes, Todd.
Often, as if I was the MVP of all three of those
you would.
Seasons.
So you'd wear one ring on your right hand, one on your left, and then you'd wear one around your neck.
I hope no one would ask me about what my contribution was. I said, yeah, I was on the team. I wouldn't lie about what my contribution was, but hopefully they wouldn't ask me too many questions about what my role was on getting those rings.
Yes, Paul.
Did Jeremy Shockey win a ring but not play in the Super Bowl? Wasn't he in the...
I think so. Hmm. Yeah. He strikes me as a guy who would wear his ring. Yeah. I don't think he'd have any qualms about it. Like, yeah, all right. Yeah, see.
There was a dude in the hometown that I grew up in, South Amboy, in New Jersey. There's a dude from the towns from South Amboy called Allie Clark was his name. And he won two rings, one with the Indians and one with the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
And he had one on every single day of his life.
And
he'd be sitting at the bar and, hey, Allie came in. There he is. Look at that ring. It's all worn down, but you're damn right. You're damn right, and I can assure you he was not the MVP of neither of those teams, but you're damn right I got it on.
Pete in Tampa. Good morning, Pete. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Dan. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Hey, I wanted to chime in on where Russell Wilson should go. I'm a long-time Viking fan, and I was thinking that they let Kirk Cousins go and let Russell Wilson come in for a couple years. And then the Vikings go draft a quarterback that they want. Looks like J.J. McCarthy. But then it would give him a couple years of sitting maybe, and then he could throw to a good receiver, and the Vikings are maybe not on the verge of a Super Bowl, but they are on the verge of winning. So
yeah, I mean, that's not out of this world to think something like that could happen. If Kirk would go to Atlanta, the Vikings could bring somebody in, not going to cost you a lot of money, at least the first year. Maybe you do draft a quarterback. And you say to Russ, you're playing for your next job someplace else. Chip on his shoulder, see how he does. Got a great head coach. Kevin's great coach, offensive-minded coach. Gary in Scottsdale. Hi, Gary. What's on your mind?
Yes, Mr. Patrick, thank you very much for having me on. 5'10", 215, size 50 jacket. And 32-inch waist and still feel great at 66 years old.
All right.
Russ, when he left Seattle,
yep.
Many, many teammates came out and said he was not a good teammate. Too egotistical, more about Russ. They felt he was phony. Goes to Denver, first year. Has to have his own parking space, his own office, and even his own coaches. And that first year, obviously, was a disaster. Sean Payton comes in. Sean says, enough of that. That stuff's gone. So there's a little riff from the very beginning on day one. And then in the game where Sean gave Russ a verbal beating, if you will, they had been working in practice all week long on that certain, after the first read wasn't there, there were certain checks that were to follow, and Drew Brees was known for this. And Russ did not do that on multiple occasions in that game. And Sean, that's when he lost it. And
no, we got it. I don't need a 30 for 30 on this. I mean, yes, they weren't on the same page. They were never on the same page. Yes, Mark.
So we're not getting a 30 for 30 on the Russell Wilson Denver years.
I don't think.
I just did.
I don't think. I don't think. I mean, I got it.
30 for 30 on it.
There's baggage there. We get it.
Soliloquy.
We got it. You know, now all of a sudden these reads that Drew Brees would do.
But Dan, in week four, the first half.
It's third and four. Yes, Marvin.
So does Russell, does he need a Kurt Warner-like resurgence to get into the Hall of Fame, or is he already in Canton?
I'm going to say he's not.
Russell Wilson?
Yeah. I'm going to say he's not in the Hall of Fame yet.
Really?
Yeah. He doesn't have great numbers. He does have two Super Bowl appearances and one Super Bowl win. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer right now. If his career ended right now, is Russ a Hall of Famer? I'd say no. Yeah, Paul?
Yeah, I think the problem is we're looking at it today as if the vote were today. You know, if let's say he retires.
But if the vote was today, is he a Hall of Famer?
He's probably going to have a tough time because of recency bias. But what's going to happen is the Denver years are going to fade away 5 years from now.
I don't know.
It'll take
if
a while.
If you're in Denver, they don't fade away.
No, hopefully they don't have too many
votes.
You're
like, oh my God, we gave up another draft pick. Yes, Seton.
How much more of a Hall of Famer is Pete Carroll considering what he accomplished with Russell Wilson as his quarterback? That's the question. Yesterday was a crowning of Pete Carroll's greatness. Truly, possibly the greatest coach of all time.
Too soon.
We are never, ever getting Russell Wilson on the show again.
Just a joke.
No, yeah. Consistently we're not.
Yeah. Yes, Todd.
What would Russ have had to do this past season where you, if you were on the fence, you would lean more towards yes, Hall of Fame?
Well, make the playoffs and keep your job.
Not get cut and have a team.
Yeah, not get released and have them go, you know how much we don't want you to play? $39 million worth.
If they went 10-7 and won one playoff game, would that be leaning towards the Hall of Fame?
Well, that's, you know, I guess that's positive. What if I fired you?
Yes.
And I said that I was going to pay you to work on another show?
I see your point there.
Okay. I'm glad I was able to dumb it down you could understand.
Sometimes I get confused.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
How about we take a break? Okay. How about, come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Come on. Come on now. Come on.
Go Hawks.
All right. Let's ride.
That's not necessary.
Poor guy.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.